Welcome to Warn Radio, with your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower. Thanks for listening.
Greetings and welcome to the Global 2020 Overview and 2019 Review Report from Warn Radio. Tonight is December 31st, 2019, the last day of the year, and we're here to share the World Advocacy Gospel. We're glad you're able to join us. And the readings in the Word this week are found in Genesis chapter 44, verses 18 through chapter 47, verse 27, Ezekiel 37, verses 15 through 28. And the New Testament portion is Luke chapter 6, verses 9 through 16. And tonight on the show, the Global 2020 Overview and 2019 Review Report looks at the top news and trends. Up front, we address the latest from China Aid on Wang Yi and his recent sentence. Further, we look at the push by certain groups who unleash ungodly policies on others who they deem as out of bounds. We will cover three sectors: wars and rumors of war, America the divided, and do church or not do church, along with our gospel news pertinent to the issues we cover. And now I welcome in the Watchman. Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm doing really good. And this is our year-end show. And up front, we want to talk a little bit about what happened this last year. Pretty much, we saw the increase in persecution in China. And one of the stories we're going to cover is Wang Yi. And we'll get into that. He was one of the pastors of one of the largest churches there in China. Now, some headlines have said that he was a dissident pastor, but this is a guy that truly loves the Lord, and this thing was an evident. And he wasn't the only one that they were cracking down in. So China. Another thing, of course, North Korea continues to be a problem with their ongoing crackdown against any kind of faith, not just Christianity. We had a lot of stories come out of India and Pakistan. And, of course, in India, it's the Hindus, and that relates clear back to the BJP party, the political and the election of the prime minister, who is of the BJP party, and of course the Christian leaders at the time, and they took over several years ago, and ever since there's been a lot of Christian persecution. So we reported on a lot of that this year, then in Pakistan, we also reported on a lot of persecution, blasphemy charges. One of the successes was the fact of the release of Asia Bibi this year. And there was a lot of forces involved in helping that. There was quite a bit of news regarding that. And one of the main lawyer parts of that was done by the ACLJ, who played a major role in helping to get her released. Another one was actually Pastor Brunson, who was released, and we hope to get in a lot of these things when we talk about our top 10, top stories. And we also had stories out of Nigeria, And these particular stories had to do with the Fulani and Boko Haram. And there was a lot of believers that were killed during this time. And we also had stories coming out of Yemen and the Sudan. We had some coming out of Cambodia and a number of other portions of the world. But the main ones, if we were to top the top five, we would say China and India and Pakistan and Nigeria were some of the most grievous ones, and we did cover those a lot. And in the 2019, when we're looking ahead, I mean, that was looking back. Now, looking ahead to 2020, we're pretty much looking, we don't see any changes going to be with China. Matter of fact, it's going to be worse. That's what it looks like, because the red communists have fully taken control and showed their regard to the true church there in China. We don't think there's going to be much of a change in North Korea. Matter of fact, Kim Jong-un is about half psychotic, so he's already threatening the United States, so I don't think it's going to look very good even on the world stage. India, because of the BJP party, I don't see anything changing there. And in Pakistan, there is some movement in their Supreme Court regarding blasphemy cases. They're trying to make sure that the Muslims are not using it against the Christians. So there is some other freedoms in the Sudan now, because they're trying to get peace and do a lot of things there. I believe the president of that has been is no longer there. They got new government now. And for the first time, the Christians in the Sudan have been able to have a parade for Jesus, and that made the news this year. So we hope that that is a good sign for that country. Nigeria, there's been a lot of talk about revivals, especially since the death of a famed evangelist who was actually in that area a lot. And his the one that took over for him does a lot of evangelization there. There's been talk of a lot of people that got saved there that gave their heart to the Lord in the years past. But still, Nigeria, in spite of all that, is one of the top areas where we find persecution. And in Africa also, we see a lot of these radical Islamic groups are really getting in the middle of that. Iraq is starting to come undone, and it has a lot of problems. So in the world, when we talk about 2019, we see a lot of major problem areas. Iran is number one, and Israel. And of course, now since the U.S. Attacked some Hezbollah bases because of their attack, which killed an American contractor, we see more wars there. And we're going to talk about a lot of these things this year, because, about a number of things going on here. A couple of updates, though, I wanted to talk about is that if you have been following us on Twitter, and if you were on our Warren Radio account there, it was suspended a couple of days ago. I have no idea why. I have contacted them, but they don't give you any reason for it. The only thing that goes over it is just our news shows and our articles. That's about it. And occasional retweets, but other than that, there's and then whoever follows us, their stuff goes over it. So we have no clue about what it is, but there's still a couple of other accounts that people are following. And Facebook also banned a lot of our articles, so we're going to be closing down our Facebook entirely. It is actually virtually worthless. I don't really care for Facebook at all. Our Instagram account is real popular. We also are on LinkedIn, which is owned by Microsoft. I think at one time I said LinkedIn was owned by Facebook. But it is, it purchased it in 2016 for $26 billion. And LinkedIn is really the more updated. It has a more stable feel to it as far as congeniality, respect, and things like that. So LinkedIn it has been heralded as the new Facebook and new Twitter and everything else, because it's really a lot different than the others. So I do recommend LinkedIn. Instagram is a lot different, but Facebook is talking about integrating that with Facebook. So we probably, I can't tell you this time, but if you really want to get involved in an early stage, go over to USA.life, and join us over on our Warren Radio page. That's actually our Facebook and Twitter replacement. And up front, when we talk about how ridiculous people are, there's a story that came out about the pastor's panty. Now, when I first seen this thing, now these things are ridiculous. Okay, just like the pastor who wanted to have a nudist church, and he stood up in the bima butt naked, and the whole congregation was naked. And if anybody knows the law, one of the first things the Lord God told Moses, when he was making everything exactly as was shown him in the mount, is to make sure all the nakedness of the priests were covered when they went up the steps. Now, see, this is one thing to understand. You need to be fully clothed. In heaven, when you get there, you're not going to be clothed in human clothes. You'll be clothed in the glory of God. Those who aren't clothed and are naked are the ones in trouble. So understand that some of this stuff we do in this country is pure, sheer nonsense. Like the pastor by the name of Thaddeus Matthews, and he posted a picture of a woman's panties that he has, and he put his portrait on it. And that's not the only thing he does. This stuff is stupid, ridiculous, dumb. And when we report on the persecuted church, and I think of Wang Yi and a lot of these others, the first thing I ask myself, do you really think any of these pastors who are facing death for the faith of Christ would put up with this? The answer is, of course, no. This is absolute nonsense and stupidity we do in this country. Now, we do want to move on here to Wang Yi. And Tower has a story on this, and so we're going to go with that. And so don't forget also, be sure to check out our websites at warren-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. We can really use your help. Reading the articles, coming to our websites, and sharing the stories and articles on your own social feeds. So check all those out and help us get the word out.
Okay, yes. This comes to us from China Aid, and the pastor and president is Bob Fu. And he talks about Wang Yi. He was sentenced. His trial was December 26th. And along with his 9-year sentence, Wang was denied political rights for 3 years and was given a fine. This is a case of unjust religious persecution against a peaceful preacher of a China Reformed Church. And Wang Yi has made this statement. I hope God uses me by means of first losing my personal freedom to tell those who have deprived me of my personal freedom that there is an authority higher than their authority, and that there is a freedom that they cannot restrain, a freedom that fills the Church of the Crucified and Risen Jesus Christ. Regardless of what crime the government charges me with, whatever filth they fling at me, as long as this charge is related to my faith, my writings, my I categorically deny it. I will serve my sentence, but I will not serve the law. I will be executed, but I will not plead guilty. Those who lock me up will one day be locked up by angels. Those who interrogate me will finally be questioned and judged by Christ. When I think of this, the Lord fills me with a natural compassion and grief towards those who are attempting to and actively imprisoning me. Pray that the Lord would use me, that he would grant me patience and wisdom, that I might take the gospel to them. Separate me from my wife and children, ruin my reputation, destroy my life and my family. The authorities are capable of doing all of these things. However, no one in this world can force me to renounce my faith. No one can make me change my life, and no one can raise me from the dead. Jesus Christ, Son of the eternal living God, he died for sinners and rose to life for us. He is my King and the King of the whole earth, yesterday, today, and forever. I am his servant, and I am in prison because of this. I will resist in meekness those who resist God, and I will joyfully violate all laws that violate God's law. Now, that's quite a statement, you know, for a pastor to make. And I don't know anybody in the United States, including myself, that would be able to stand strong like that. I believe God gives us the grace in time of need to stand like that. But in America, in this westernized church, we're weak. And that, I admire him, and we need to pray for Pastor Wang Yi. Remember him every day as he's in captivity.
Okay. We are going to be talking about just a minute. Okay. That helps me. I had a little glitch in my come along here. You know, there's a representative by the name of Bradley Byrne. He warns atheist groups. This comes out of Alabama, and I really like this today. Alabama Congressman, now this is a CBN article. Alabama Congressman Bradley Byrne doesn't like bullies, especially out-of-state bullies. And he jumped to the defense of a high school football team under fire from a Wisconsin-based gang of atheists, agnostics, and free thinkers. Now, if you have problems in America, you have certain groups here that think that Christians have no rights at all. Christianity has no rights, and government has no right to even talk of it, and even your schools don't. But if you go into the hallowed halls of Congress, you're going to find the Word of God there. You're going to find references to the Bible. And all these people are pure full of baloney. And at any rate, so they were getting after this high school football team, and the Freedom From Religion Foundation is who we're talking about, accused the Tallapoosa County Schools of violating the law by allowing football players to participate in a baptism event. Now, this was to take place at the high school. Oh, so you got a problem with that? Tough. Well, at any rate, the Alexander City Outlook reports that 26 players asked the coach if they could be baptized in a trough on the field prior to practice. It was a voluntary event, and a good many players did not attend. Head coach Matt Johnson and the team chaplain participated in the incredibly moving ceremony. Our community is based on those values overall, Johnson told the newspaper. Everybody is not the same, obviously, and we're fine with that. But the way we run our program, the way I run my program specifically, is based 100% off Christian values. Now, see, this is the problem. The out-of-town atheists accused Coach Johnson of breaking the law, and they're demanding the school district investigate. The district should take appropriate steps to ensure there'll be no further religious rituals, including baptisms, schools sponsored activities, Attorney Christopher Line wrote in a letter to the school superintendent. Well, Congressman Byrne sprang into action. And so he said, "This really makes me mad," the congressman wrote on Facebook. "I'm sick of these groups trying to tell us that we aren't allowed to live out our faith. The Freedom From Religion Foundation need to pack it up and stop forcing their ungodly, un-American views down our throats." Now, see, this is what's happening in America. Under Obama, it was really bad. And because of Trump, we have been able to see this fight come to our side. And because of ministries, legal ministries like the American Center for Law and Justice, we see a lot of victories. And now, because of Trump appointing so many judges, that will give us even more common sense, constitutional judges that will interpret it as our founders intended it. Now, Tower, when we talk about this, this comes close to home.
Yes, it does.
Well, you know, the thing of it is that it's a problem when we think that atheists can have a voice and all these other groups, including, I mean, we talk transgenders and everybody else and not Christians.
Yes, I find it quite disturbing that Christians are not allowed to voice their opinions or how they feel. They have no right to be this way because people do not like Christianity, and I think that we should be able to agree disagreeably. I mean, disagree agreeably and not have to deal with problems and all these hate groups. It's just a shame that this is going on in this country. It's a sure sign that we are living in the last of the last days, because it's all this kind of stuff is ramping up exponentially.
Well, you know, I think that's one of the biggest things, you know, is the rights here. And, of course, we know on Twitter, we know in the political universe that there's a lot of division. And I prophesied about this a couple of years back during the great summer eclipse. And I made note of the fact of the division. And it was shortly after that this division really came into its own. And so there is no doubt that this division, and I can tell you, a house divided cannot stand. So when we look not only to 2019 and look into 2020, the hope is there is that this breach will be healed. The truth of it is, and the facts of life in this, as we look around in the governments of men and many of the states, the nations, we see a lot of problems and civil unrest. And God is shaking the end of days, and so we have to prepare ourselves for whatever comes. In other news, DEBCA, which is an intelligence briefing concerning Israel, talked about the U.S. retaliation for Iran's aggression. Israel's Foreign Minister Yisrael Katz said the Pentagon announcement that U.S. forces had attacked five Iraqi Khatib Hezbollah centers in Iraq in response to Iran-backed aggression against coalition forces is a game-changer against Iran and its satellites. If Iran fails to grasp the extent of American power, it will suffer greater punishment than ever before. Now, that is Israel's prime minister. In a related story out of DEBCA, they had made note of the fact, and this is one of the reasons we pay attention to DEBCA, because they have real good intelligence in the Middle East, and they noted that unprecedented security at all U.S. Middle East bases. All U.S. military bases in the Middle East have been placed at the highest level security, lest Iran's Revolutionary Guards or its allies, including the Lebanese Hezbollah, decide hit back for the U.S. assault on these five centers that they had attacked. And they're only, you know, the U.S. is only reciprocating for what these people had done. Then, of course, we know that there was riots and stuff going on outside the embassy. And, of course, Benghazi comes to mind when Clinton Obama didn't do much of anything, told everybody to stand down. And so the big problem we have today is that we have an embassy And, of course, there was a quick response. Trump made note of that from Iraq, the Iraqi, you know, government. And so there's a lot of hope there. Iraq really needs to settle down. But whether or not it is able to, without America's help, is going to be absolutely impossible, I think, for them to even make it. Now, in our first main thing that when we talk about 2019-2020 is to church or not to church. And these are just various stories on the church today. And the first one we want to talk about is this Texas church shooting. Now, Tower and I were watching one of the videos that came out like everybody else did. And one of the things we saw was the fact that there was so many shooters that were handy.
Yeah, the video showed the shooter getting up. He was dressed in all black, and he was they were watching him. And then when he got up, he went and got a gun and started shooting. And several people pulled out a gun, and he was shot. And it's good that the church, there was people in the church packing, because otherwise it would have been a greater tragedy than it was. And it reminds me of Revelations 13:10. It says, in part of it, it says, "He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword." So this guy, he was killing with a gun, and he must be killed with a gun. That's what happens. You reap what you sow. You sow that kind of stuff, and it's a tragedy that he resorted to killing people. I find it a great tragedy. Why he went into the church to do that, I have no idea why people would even want to do that. It's horrible to think like that and trying to destroy lives and thinking they can get away with it.
Well, you know, I had heard the news from the guy that had shot him, and he knew both the men at the front door. One of them had a gun on him, and the other one was doing the communion. He was carrying around the stuff for communion. And this shooter got up and went towards them, and of course, the one guy with the gun, he's the one that was pretty much at the door, was shot as he was trying to pull the gun out, because they said the one originally that had shot the guy later on, it was within 3 seconds, later said that I had to do what I had to do because evil exists in the world, and he actually killed him within 3 seconds. And he shot him directly in the head. And he said that we had all been watching him from the beginning because of the way he was dressing. He wore a wig and everything. But the pastor made note that he had actually given him free food. He had given him food and tried to help the guy out, and the guy came back to kill everybody. So, you know, it is okay to protect yourselves. And that's the bottom line, you know. And you could even follow back in the law on blood guilt when we discuss blood guilt. And the fact that you are fighting with someone to protect yourself is okay. And if that person gets killed in the process, in the Old Testament, there was the cities of refuge because they were considered innocent. It wasn't that kind of shedding of blood. But the shedding of blood is out of hatred and out of jealousy. Now, I do write about this to explain it a little more in my latest article, which I hope to have published tomorrow or the next day. So be sure to check for that. So our prayers go out to this church. And it was the Church of Christ, the West Freeway, and located in White Settlement, just outside of Fort Worth. And, of course, there's been a lot of things going on. Of course, the other thing that did happen, of course, was the stabbings at the Hanukkah celebration, where the guy broke in to this rabbi's celebration, his home, and started stabbing people. And they did catch the guy, and he had been in trouble a lot. He had been released a lot, and, well, now he's facing severe charges. In another article, which is, again, we're talking about the church. This one comes out of WorldNet Daily. But the UK Christian Institute is one of the ones that was really hanging on to that story. But WorldNet Daily ran it, too. And the bottom line of it is the UK's Christian Institute pointed to his view. Now, his view is Stephen Cottrell, who has been nominated as the next Archbishop of York. He's with the Church of England. Now, of course, if you're a mainline Protestant, then you would have been one of the ones that fled the UK, more than likely, to get to America, because of persecution from England. And this is one of the reasons they all came over here, and the history of England and the persecution of Christians on both sides, Catholic and Protestant, is very well known in the UK history. Nevertheless, you have this guy comes along, and he said the Bible must yield to cultural beliefs of contemporary society on matters of sexual behavior. He called for a new radical Christian inclusion, and he uses his position here, and he knows who he is, but as far as being the head of it, but he's also looking at being the senior here and telling them what they're going to do. He says, I have my views and opinions, of course I do, but I'm also a father in God to all of you and to all clergy and licensed ministers. Make an oath of canonical obedience to me. Now that is baloney. Now they do that in a particular church, but the only allegiance we have is to Jesus Christ and his word. And anything other than that is nothing but whoredom. Now, see, once you have church leaders that cross the bounds of original apostolic teachings, those which were given to them by the Lord Jesus Christ, then these people are anathema. I don't care how stable they are in the Church of England, and I don't care how stable they are in the Catholic Church. This is just absolute baloney. And saying that the church must adapt to the social sexual behavior of society is pure idiocy. And that's part of the stuff we're seeing today. And we have this absolute abomination going on around in our schools, and Hollywood is promoting it. They've always been a bunch of whores and pimps in Hollywood, and there's not much to change my mind about them, except there are some Christians over there and good people like at PureFlex and a number of others. But other than that, the influence of Hollywood has been nothing short of a whore. So make no mistake about it, you need to make sure who you're serving. You need to make sure that they are instituted in this. And believe me, there are ministers of the so-called gospel that are running churches right now that are saying things that are okay, which are absolutely an abomination. And if you do those things, you will be judged for them severely. You will not make heaven. You will not pass go. And you will regret the day you were ever born. So you had better wake up and pay attention to these people. Because these people. Now you see, this leads me into another one. This has to do with the Pope. The Pope was speaking to high school students in Rome. And he told the Catholics shouldn't seek to convert Jews and Christians to Christianity. Now, this is really funny, okay? There's many Catholics who consider themselves to be Christians. So, first of all, if he says you shouldn't convert Jews and Christians, what's he talking about? I mean, who is the Catholics then? I mean, Christians are already converted. I mean, this Pope has said a lot of stuff that's absolute nonsense. He said, we are not living in the times of the Crusades, that Christians should declare the gospel only if their witness prompts non-believers to ask questions. And basically, he doesn't want them to bring the gospel by, you know, that Christians should declare that gospel only if the witness, like you just are walking around and you're nice and friendly or whatever, and they want to know about your witness. And so if non-believers ask, then you can tell them about the gospel. Well, that's not the gospel at all. And if Paul the Apostle was here, he would throw the Pope out of the church. But Francis, this guy does say a lot of things, and I think he's misunderstood in some of the things that he says. Nevertheless, the way he said it here is absolute nonsense. He's akin to the other guy from the Church of England. One's Catholic and the other is kind of he's a Protestant, all right, but he's definitely on the ecumenical side. And both of these things are part of what I would classify as theology of the whore church. So, I don't know, Tower. When we look at these things, it's hard to believe what these people would say.
I think it's scary that he's telling people not to share their faith with others. When you're prompted by the Holy Spirit, you speak, and to tell them not to is silencing God, and it could cost somebody their life, their salvation.
That's right. Now, here in a minute, we are going to cover the top stories relating to what happened in the world. Now, this comes from CBN, and I want to read some of these because the reason I do is because we want to kind of comment on those, and because there's some of them that we've talked about. We've talked about Andrew Brunson. We talked about John Chaw's martyrdom. Hindu nationalism's rise to power in India. I talked about that. We've been covering that. Asiya Bibi, the Chaibok girls. See, all these things have been covered by CBN, and they're listed as the top 10 in 2019. So this gives you an idea of what we're all covering. A lot of us wind up in the same place, but we cover it from different places. And like a lot of the miracles that we have talked about, which come from some of them, come from various sources, not just from the ones that we happen to find. But nevertheless, I also wanted to pass on that Bibles for the Mideast needs your prayer. They have sent out two emails the last 2 days. It's very urgent. They need prayer. They're in a dangerous area of India. And they were going to have a baptismal service for a lot of these, but the radical Hindus are around. There's groups of them, and they're monitoring them, and they want prayer for safety. They've been moving around from house to house. So pray for them. It's dangerous over there. So at any rate, when we talk about the top tens, is just, it can be top five, it could be top anything. We've covered lots of stories, but some of these were really, really close to home. And as soon as Tower reads them, she could tell you exactly what I'm talking about.
Do you want me to start with 10? This is number 10. ISIS establishment of a caliphate where Christians weren't welcome. When ISIS began to control territory in 2014 and established its so-called caliphate, Christian homes and businesses were marked with the nun word, or the N-U-U-N symbol. The Arabic letter N for Nazarene that signified followers of Jesus. And traditional Christians were offered the choice to flee and forfeit their homes or pay a jizya, subjugation tax, and remain in the caliphate. Former Muslim converts to Christianity were given two choices: return to Islam immediately or be killed. And tens of thousands of Christians fled their homes in Iraq and Syria, moving to camps within their nation or in surrounding nations. Many of those are still trying to recover and put their lives back together.
Now, when we're talking about ISIS, now all that is well and good, but we were covering 2014, 2015. I covered it every day, every week, for the whole time. And we had reports coming in firsthand through a lot of different sources that we had been able to contact. Most of them came from people who were shooting things, videos on their phone, sending texts in. There was a couple of professional organizations that were Iraqi and Armenian, Kurdish, things like that, that we could get some information. But basically, ISIS slaughtered people. And this nonsense that they could live there fine was nonsense, absolutely. ISIS was slaughtering, and we saw the pictures, and the witnesses were there. It's just absolute nonsense. And, of course, ISIS is nothing but a bloodthirsty group of people that are going to spend their days when they die in the worst torment of hell. And good riddance to them for what they've done.
And number 9, churches closed in Iran. Church explodes in Iran. The church in Iran exploded in growth over the past 10 years as the people of the Islamic Republic have lost faith in their Islamic government and also in Islam itself. In 2013, Tehran's Assemblies of God church buildings were closed, one of the last buildings churches holding services in the Farsi that remained open in the country. Today, all building churches are closed. All Christian meetings occur in private homes, in parks, or some other location, and all of them are illegal. House church leaders are arrested, interrogated, and imprisoned, yet the church continues to grow.
And that has not changed. Right now, they say there's as many as 1 million Iranians that are following Jesus Christ. We know for a fact from all the various sources that concerning this in Iran, and there's a lot of them, that in fact the Ayatollah had actually gotten involved in this, said they need to make more arrests, they need to make sure and stop people from becoming Christians. Because and we found this in a lot of areas, that when persecution arises, the governments enter in and they're afraid. And that's exactly what happens in China. They're afraid that, you know, that the Christians now, who outnumber the registered communists in China, would actually take over the country. So a lot of the persecution comes right out of fear. And see, Iran and China for 2020, this isn't, I don't see any change here at all. I don't see any movement. Now, Towers is going to read now about Pastor Brunson, and then she's going to move on to a couple of others, because a lot of this stuff we've already covered. We just want to lightly give a summary of these things to let you know, and then we can move on.
Number 8 is Pastor Andrew Brunson arrested, tried, and eventually released in Turkey. And when he was called to the police station in October of 2016, he thought he and his wife were going to receive permanent resident status in Turkey. Instead, he was held 2 years in prison, charged with helping to lead a coup against Turkish President Erdogan, which was totally false. And since his release, he's been open about what he's endured in prison. He wrestled with his own faith in God, and at one point, wondering if he was losing his sanity. So there, I want to say that it's very important to pray for our brethren that are imprisoned, for their faith in Christ, that God would be their light in the prison, that he would remove all fear and anguish and dread and pain and replace it with his hope and his peace. And number 7, Omar al-Bashir, removed from power in Sudan after decades of targeting Christians. And Bashir's Islamic government had long targeted Christians in South Sudan. And with the separation of that area into a separate new nation in 2011, Bashir's government turned more attention to Christians in his new, smaller country.
Now, I was just talking about that. This particular thing, and Sudan now is different, and so there's more freedom for the Christians in there. And so this Bashir's government was removed from power, and with very little bloodshed, which surprised a lot of people. And the people, Christians, were given for the first time the ability to gather and have a parade to celebrate Jesus during Christmas, his birth. And there was pictures of it and how happy they were being able to gather. Now, these people that could never gather before, and they were afraid for their life. Now, all of a sudden, they had the freedom. They were indeed happy.
Number 6 is John Chow's martyrdom on North Sentinel Island. It was just before Thanksgiving in 2008 when the world learned that a young American had been killed by islanders on North Sentinel Island, a small island belonging to India whose inhabitants are completely cut off from the world. And these initial reports painted John Chow as an adventure seeker of some kind of Christian Indiana Jones. There was criticism, including from many in the Christian community. What was he thinking? What kind of diseases did he expose the North Sentinels to? Why take such risks? The details that have emerged since paint a much deeper portrait of a young man who had been preparing for years to go to the island to share God's love with the North Sentinelese people. And today, thousands of Christians are praying for the people on the island that they had never heard of before John Chow landed his kayak on the beach there. Number 5 is Hindu nationalism's rise to power in India. When Narendra Modi was elected prime minister in India, he presented himself as a can-do, pro-business leader who'd brought electricity to thousands of citizens in his home state. What he didn't talk about as much, but was well known by India's voters, was his background in the Hindu National RSS movement that aims to make every Indian citizen a Hindu and make non-Hindus feel as unwelcomed as possible.
Now, we covered this particular section years ago, probably about 3 years ago. And Christian leaders in India were telling the West and others, whoever would listen, that because of Prime Minister Modi's election and his connections to these nationalists, that there would be more persecution of Christians, and there was. And most of, and a lot of the persecution not only came year-round, but especially around Christmas and Easter and any other celebrations, they were targeted. And we have seen churches burn. We have seen people killed. We have seen people run out of homes and neighborhoods. We've seen them threatened. We've reported on this. And so because of Modi, you know, we try to pretend, you know, and their own constitution guarantees the freedom of religion, but it's hardly freedom. And see, this is one of the points that many in the arena of talking about Christian rights really needs to stress, and many of them have, is that there's a lot. Even North Korea guarantees freedom of religion, freedom in this respect. China does too, but they don't enforce it. And it's no good if you have it on paper and nobody enforces it. Now, see, in America, we do have a constitution. We have certain rights. But when we fail to enforce the constitutionality of those rights, we're screwed. And here in India, that's why they are in one of the things. Next year, unless something happens, not much is going to change.
Number four, changes in China. The past 10 years have seen an alarming increase of persecutions of Christians and Muslims in China, spearheaded by Communist Party Chairman Xi Jinping. New laws on religion took effect at the beginning of 2018 and have led to marked increases in church demolitions, arrests of church leaders, and control over all religious activities in China. Concurrently, China has created a surveillance state that tracks every Chinese citizen everywhere in China, making underground Christian work significantly more difficult. Numerous unregistered churches have been closed down, and several well-known Chinese pastors are currently in prison. In addition to persecuting Christian citizens, China has attempted to force out foreign Christians, with numerous foreigners finding that their visas have been revoked or won't be renewed.
Now, see, this is another thing that we see, as I mentioned before. China is taking these because they simply want to protect the heritage of China. And they're afraid of Christianity taking over since there's been so many Christians. And see, a lot of governments use this type of rationalization. And you find that in India, which we just finished with. And you find it in a lot of other areas. Now, see, we've covered these stories. And, you know, there is no doubt that, yeah, they have a constitution. Nobody enforces it. And then they pass some of these laws. And then, see, in their mind, that makes it okay. Because they passed a law and they can throw a pastor who's done nothing into prison like Wang Yi for 9 years. Now, see, the problem you have with that is that's not justice. And we have a lot of these people who justify their actions against churches and Christians and other groups. China is not only persecuting Christians, but they have one of the largest concentration camps in the world. They are holding Uyghur Muslims behind fences. And so make no mistake about it. You know, right now, you know, America for years and years and years has done business with China and hasn't given a care about what China does and how she treats her citizens. And see, the thing that we do not like is the fact that why do we have to do anything with China? Why don't we stop doing anything with these countries until they change? And the UN does not enforce any of this either. Matter of fact, China, of course, is a member of the United Nations and even the Security Council. So a lot of good that's going to do.
Number three, Asiya Bibi's blasphemy case in Pakistan. Asiya Bibi's persecution saga spanned almost all of the decade as she was arrested in 2009. Then sentenced to death by a lower court, her appeal process took years before the Supreme Court of Pakistan finally ruled in October 2018 that she was that there was no basis for the blasphemy charge against her and ordered her release. But even after the order, their order, it took more than 6 months before she was allowed to leave Pakistan for an undisclosed new home where her protection could be better ensured. In spite of the eventual just outcome in Asiya's case, the blasphemy laws that sent her to prison are often used as a cudgel to settle disputes and are still on the books in Pakistan. And we've heard reports out of Pakistan that there's 200 more cases like Asiya Bibi's. But she was released because people got in there behind her and made it public, made it worldwide to get her out. And that's why. And we need to be vocal about all the others that are imprisoned as well. And number two is the Chibok girls kidnapped in Nigeria. Just one chapter in this story of the rise of Boko Haram and Islamic jihadists within the Fulani tribe. The rise of social media in this decade placed this 2014 story of 276 kidnapped girls, many of whom were Christians, in front of millions of people, as thousands, including First Lady Michelle Obama, tweeted the hashtag, Bring back our girls. 5 years later, too many of these girls are still missing, and the problem of Islamist jihadist attacks not only continues in northern Nigeria, but has spread to Niger, Mali, Burkina Faso, and other nearby nations. Christians are targeted, and Nigeria's government has shown neither the will nor the ability to stop the attacks, something that is unlikely to change with the arrival of 2020.
And you know, in both of those, Asiya Bibi, the ACLJ, as I said before, had a major influence in that, and there was a lot of people. We were covering her all the time. Chibok girls, there is one mentioned here, Leah Sherabu, that is still kidnapped. We've been talking about a lot. Pray for her to be released. There's a lot of the others that were released. A number of the girls got killed. Some of them had recanted. They went ahead and married into some of these, and so we have one more left, and that was 21 men killed on the beach in Libya by ISIS butchers, and that's kind of par for the course for them. And I remember them, known as the People of the Cross. This is what ISIS referred to them. And you know, 20 Coptic Christians, they had come over there into Libya for work, and they were caught by ISIS and stood up, and they were all murdered right there. And it was one of the horrific things when we learned and understood that ISIS didn't care who they killed. You had one choice. You were either of the cross and Christian, or you were with them. That was it, period. And so those are the top 10 there. And you know, for Tower and I, the Chibok girls, Asiya Bibi, Leah Sherabu, John Shaw, and Pastor Brunson, these are names that we know well. So make no mistake about it. It's really important when we look at all these. In another news, International Christian Concern puts the deaths in Nigerian Christians killed at over 1,000. And you know, in 2018, they have 1,930 deaths listed. And so they've been keeping track, but 1,000 seems like a lot. And even though 1,000 seems like a lot, in past there's been more, but still 1,000 in Nigeria. We cover Nigeria a lot, and they're always in the news. The next section we're looking at is wars and rumors of wars in Luke 21, 10. It says, then he said to them, nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. And of course, that's in Luke. And after that, there's a lot more things involved there, earthquakes and everything else. But the one thing that really came across, and this, I remember when Putin came out and was bragging about his new Russian weapon that would change everything. And they've got it made now. CBN covered the story. AP covered it with from Moscow. The Moscow covered it, AP of Moscow, Associated Press. And, of course, they would have sent a press release out on all of this. But this new Russian weapon can travel 27 times the speed of sound. In case, you know, it can withstand temperatures of up to 2,000 degrees Celsius or 3,632 degrees Fahrenheit. And it can fly through the atmosphere at hypersonic speeds, 27 times faster than the speed of sound. It carries a nuclear weapon of up to 2 megatons. The reason it's so dangerous is you can't catch the thing in order to knock it out of the sky. It's too fast. So, you know, this is one of the reasons when we're talking about threat of world war, threat of any kind of an enemy. Now, see, you put that together with the fact that Breitbart and a lot of others covered it as well, is the fact that Iran, China, and Russia had joint drills and in the Indian Ocean and Gulf of Oman. Now, of course, in the South China Sea, China has been really trying to make that their own when it's not their own. Other countries have claims on the area. But, you know, the thing of it is here is the Chinese Navy was going to deploy its special guided missile destroying destroyer, described as the carrier killer. And you have Iran involved in this, which is to demonstrate Iran's military capability. And you have the fact you have Iran, China, and Russia going together in a military move, which puts a warning to the United States and also says something about the fact that Iran wants to destroy Israel. And Iran, of course, has Russia supplying rockets and supplying a number of technology and other things to them. You have China that also works with them. And so you've got the two biggest powers, China and Russia, taking up Iran, who is one of the biggest in the Middle East besides Erdogan. And you have America. And, of course, if anybody attacks Israel, which we've reported on a lot because of the contacts, Jerry Golden has been quoting some of the top military leaders in Israel and been doing this for years, a couple of years anyway, saying that the next war that they're going to have will be one of the worst Israel will ever have. They're looking at approximately, you know, a deluge of rockets from Hezbollah, Hamas, and others that will hit them from all sides. Every part of Israel would be hit. Many of them are looking at the Ezekiel 38 scenario happening. When I look at it, it just spells a mess. Will this happen in 2019? It could very well hold off because 2020? The 2020. So when we're talking about wars and rumors, this is a big question mark. Russia, China, and Iran now operating together. Russia now having this supersonic speed missile. But see, Trump has just spent a lot of money to upgrade every carrier and everything they had. He was talking about it not too long ago. And so America's building up. The bottom line to this, folks, people don't stand in line like they did in the Civil War, like they did in the knights of old, where you'd have two armies face each other with the king at the front. They don't do that. Now they can destroy entire nations from afar. They send in their troops to mop up, and there's not much left. So this does not. That's why the Lord says that unless he shortens the days, there'd be no flesh left alive. That's why when he comes again in Revelation, it says he'll destroy those who have destroyed the earth. I talk about this, again, as I said before, in my article that's done. We have to finish editing it And I hope to get that published in the next couple of days. You'll be able to read that over on warn-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com. And, of course, when you talk about Israel, the International Criminal Court in The Hague, of course, they have prosecutors who met with Hamas and with their agents, which of some, you know, Hamas is actually part of the group of the PLO, the PA's official committee. And they have individuals with known ties to terror who are representing them, and they are meeting with the International Criminal Court trying to push a case of war crimes against Israel, because they'll do anything to bring Israel down. This is the kind of enemies that are out there right now, evil, wicked people. And, of course, you know, another thing on the whole issue when we talk about all of this is the fact that the United Nations approved a Russian-led bid to create a new convention on cybercrime. This is to control the Internet. It's called an Internet Convention, they've got Russia involved. Now, see, both Russia and China involved in this is bad news, because they're both breaking the rights of personal of their people. China has put together a social rating system. They track everything you do. This is all akin to the mark of the beast. When I was a kid raised up, I was warned to watch out for the rise of the dragon and the rule of the yellow people. That's China. In those days, that was China. So you got to watch out for it. And this is exactly how the mark of the beast will go. They will control the Internet. And so this does not prove good at all. So we could see more controls by the Internet in 2020. We could see major wars in 2020. And so the persecution in the areas where they're at, I don't see anything letting up there. The bottom line of it is, folks, you need to understand that we're dealing with real end-of-days stuff here. And you need to pay attention. And one thing of note here is gun control in California, according to a report out of Breitbart, coming from the Associated Press. They look back on violence in 2019. And California has more gun control than any state, yet they had the most mass slayings of any state. That's California. So we also see, you know, the controls in Chicago and the controls on guns in New York, and both of those areas as well have a lot of murders as well. So, you know, of note, California and all the liberals, not only do they have Nancy, like at Nancy Pelosi's area, all the homeless laying around, thanks to liberal policies in California. They got liberal gun control, which controls everything, and they haven't stopped the mass slayings, unfortunately. And one of the things that was horrendous, and that is a 60-year-old man from New York who was beaten. He was killed, and the band of muggers took his last dollar. That's according to the New York police. He was from the Bronx. His first name is Juan. He died Friday afternoon. And they beat the living daylights out of him. They killed him eventually, took his last buck, and they walked away laughing, more than likely. This is the kind of cold, calculated baloney we see in the world today. And any time you're wondering why men and women are so wicked, you look in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and you will find out. We are living in the end of days, and for 2020, we have to live by the grace of God, looking at everything, and just trust Him. And in the article that I wrote, I do have some things concerning, you know, scriptures in deliverance. There's two main ones, and so don't miss this article. And we do want to kind of sum this up for a minute. So at any rate, we talked about Wang Yi. We talked about the Texas shooting today. We talked about how the Pope and the Catholic Church and their policies went. We talked about the Church of England and the policy about how culture trumps what the Bible has to say. We talked about the top stories relating to Christian persecution. And in the 10 that CBN covered, there's main ones that we also, Asiya Bibi, Pastor Brunson, John Chow. Another one that they didn't mention was Leah Sherabu. So that there's a number of these things that we had picked out from our thing that when we were covering it, these were very important. We talked about the threats of war, the Russian super weapon, and we talked about controlling the internet and strict gun control. And as usual, you can look over all these things.
And even though all of these things are tragic, we can look to 2020 to be a good year. Take one day at a time, look to the Lord, and trust in Him for your year ahead.
Well, that's a good point, because when you do look at this, that's exactly how you may feel. But see, remember, God, through Christ, provides for us and takes care of us. And in America today, while we're not being persecuted, we face our own trials and tribulations here. But we can pray for the church overseas. We can give financially. We can also speak with our mouth and get the word around to other believers to support the persecuted church around the world. This is important. And so, you know, I believe that God is able to make a way no matter where I'm at and at which time. And make no mistake about it, there are those who are going to be martyred. There are those that are also going to be delivered. We have the Hebrew Hall of Faith, and I've talked about this a lot. There are scriptures that we personally use for deliverance that the Lord Himself told us. There's things that we are to do. And I'm here to tell you that that's a good point Tower made, that although we talk about that, remember, we are in the information age, and this can just be a lot. That's why I don't cover this every day of the week. I do it at the end of the year, and that's it. This is only going to be a little over an hour, this broadcast. We are not going to go any further. If you want to know any more, you can research it and look it up. But every week on a Wednesday, we cover advocacy for the persecuted church. Now, see, our Warren Radio account on Twitter was dedicated to getting these shows advertised, you know, send them through the Twitter system. And remember that on Twitter, they're worldwide, and there are those who are Muslims that do not like us talking about the persecuted church. There are countries that don't like this. And no matter what the countries may think, no matter what the UN thinks, we as Christians have a higher duty. We must get the truth out, and we must tell people. And that's why here at the WIBR Warren Radio, if you have an extra buck or two or 10 or 20 or 30 to help us every month get this word out and to help us in our battle, because I can tell you, every article I write costs money. The problem of it is we don't have the money to get it properly advertised out there and get it out there. And we've already been cut out of two of our things at Facebook and the other, Twitter. Now, see, I think Twitter will be redone. I don't know what their problem was. But at any rate, these things happen. It costs money. It costs dedication. And here, you know, we work. We do a lot of work to try to get the word out. And biblical articles, biblical teachings. And if you want to go to websites that are truly biblical, truly have the Word of God and teachings and centers around that, you're not going to find a lot of news around the world. You're going to find just what we're talking about here tonight, the persecuted church. And so go to warren-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com. And don't forget to help us get this word out, help us in, go to our websites and read the articles and send them through your own social feeds. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook. And if you are following Warren Radio, you know, you can also find us on WatchmanIS216 and WGS_Watchman. These were different accounts that we started with different purposes in mind. But nevertheless, we're looking to the Lord and we're looking for His provision. And I believe beyond a shadow of doubt that the Lord will make a way for Wang Yi.
Well, I want to thank everybody for joining us tonight. We love you. We appreciate you and we pray for you. And may God bless you richly with His peace and joy in the year to come in 2020. And we wish you all a happy new year. God bless you.
Yes, and from me, happy new year and be blessed this year. We pray for the Lord's richest blessings on the children of the Lord, those who walk in His light. And we pray for the repentance of those who don't walk in His light. And we pray for the Lord's kingdom to come in. Father, we thank You for allowing us to be here this last year. And we ask You, Lord, to bless us and help us to get the word out and help all those who hear and who help us. Lord, bless them and be with them and provide for them and keep them and their families safe. Father, we thank You in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is coming again as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He's coming as the greater Son of David, the warrior King, who will put down every enemy, and He will establish His kingdom in truth and righteousness, and we shall rule and reign with Him. We thank You for that hope we have, and for Tower and myself, I'm the Watchman. Be blessed, my friends. We'll see you next week. Good night. Yes, next year.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Warren Radio.